Our reading for today begins in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who may enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water? And they obey him." They sailed to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Our reading started with this description talking about the lamp. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. And of course, we understand the idea of light being truth and the Word of God and Jesus coming into this world to push back the darkness, bringing that light into the world. And so obviously that light needs to be broadcast, it needs to be shown, it needs to be used, it needs to be utilized. And so Jesus gets that point across very well here, that it was going to expose the things that were in the darkness. Then verse 19, his mother and his brothers come to him. They could not reach him because of the crowd. He's told that they're standing outside, and he answers, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." At face value, this seems like a rude response to his mother. But I don't think we should see it that way. Remember that this huge change has happened in Jesus' life. He has gone from, you know, being the son of Joseph and Mary and growing up and being a carpenter. And then all of a sudden at this point, after his baptism, he has disappeared from their lives and gone out to begin his ministry, do the work that he came into this world to do. And for his family, that must have seemed like a huge contrast and a huge change. I'm not sure what they were thinking here when they came to see him, whether they were, you know, concerned or whether they were expecting this or what was going on. I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus makes it clear that now is the time for him to do the work that he was supposed to be doing, and he couldn't be distracted and he couldn't be pulled away from that work. And so it's not a rude response, but it does show the priorities of Jesus. We likewise need to have the right priorities. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, and that means that we set aside other concerns and other things that can distract us. We have to make the better choices. So don't get distracted and be sure to follow the things of Jesus. I want to make clear that we're not saying that Jesus is calling us to abandon our family. Now, there may be some cases in which your family is a source of temptation. You know, there might be families that are a source of persecution, and you might have to separate yourselves from them. But in a general sense, no, families are a good thing. They are the basic unit of our society as God has designed. You know, God instituted marriage. God instituted having children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God teaches us how to have a good relationship with our parents, with our spouse, with our children. And so those are all things that are blessings from God. So that's not what he's saying, but he is saying that we do have to make some choices about how we use our time and what is our focus and what's truly important in our lives. And if we can't make those choices, then we don't have our priorities in line. Then they get into this boat, and Jesus falls asleep in the boat, and this great storm comes. And these are experienced people. You know, some of his disciples were fishermen that were going out on the sea to make their living. So they're experienced in dealing with storms, dealing with boats. But they come to him and they're concerned because there's a sincere possibility that the boat could sink, that they could perish. And that's what they say, you know, Master, we are perishing. But notice what Jesus does. He gets up and he rebukes the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased and there was a calm. And they ask that question, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Now, I want us to understand that there's a lesson in this for us. There's a lesson in that, you know, our lives can be full of such turmoil. Our lives can be full of a raging storm that just causes chaos and confusion, throws us off course, makes us wonder if we're doing the right things. Jesus can calm all of that in your life and give you the focus that you really need. If you allow Jesus to reign in your life, to be your Savior and your King, then those wind and waves of torment in your life and confusion and all of these things, that they can go away. It doesn't mean that nothing will happen to you in this world, but it means that with the right focus and considering that we are just mere pilgrims in this world waiting to go home to our heavenly abode, then those things won't toss us around quite so much. And then you have Jesus healing this man with a demon, or actually many demons. And Luke's account words this a little differently than others, and so it might be a little bit more difficult in the book of Luke to read all of this. Part of that is just because Luke interjects a few thoughts in here to explain the situation, whereas Matthew writes it a little bit more like a story. But consider that this man has been under torment from these demons for a long time, living in a way that he wouldn't want to live. He wouldn't want to run around naked. He wouldn't want to live among the tombs. He wouldn't want to eat, I'm sure, whatever he was eating that he found out there. You know, he is in, you know, like a spectator in his own body, and this is torment. But these demons ask Jesus, "Don't torment us." I always thought that was interesting, since they're tormenting this man. But they asked to go into this herd of pigs. Now, I want us to understand something about this. When they asked to go into this herd of pigs, and they're asking for this mercy from Jesus, I think that Jesus did this as a sign rather than truly a mercy upon the demons, for the demons are doing evil things. They deserve to be in torment with Satan. So from my point of view, and this is my own thoughts, you know, just take it as you will. It's worth what you paid for it. But I think it was a sign so that the city would take notice versus the man. They could say, well, he just got better, or he came into his own mind or something like that. It's very apparent what happened here. And of course, there is the loss of the pigs for the herdsmen. That's one of the reasons why they ran off and told everybody. But this created such fear that they asked him to leave. You might think, well, he'd done this great thing for this man. How could they ask him to leave? Well, first of all, they've lost some source of income. But second of all, here they are with, you know, this fearful attitude. So Jesus, he listens, he goes away, but he leaves this man to go and proclaim that God has done this wonderful thing for him. And that's exactly what he does. He proclaims what God has done for him. So here's something to think about today. What has God done for you? Have you thanked him? Have you expressed that gratitude and rejoiced in what God has done for you? And have you proclaimed it to others? Have you shouted from the rooftops how good God has been to you? And if you have trouble being able to proclaim that, then you need to take a little closer look at your life, for God has done many great things for us. And for our prayer today, let's pray that we recognize the power of God in our lives. Pray that we recognize that he has done those great things for us, and ask him to continue to bless us as we proclaim those good things to others and proclaim the good news of Jesus the Christ. Thank you for listening. Please be safe as we're facing some inclement weather and very cold temperatures. If you have needs, please reach out to the elders or one of the deacons and let us know what those needs are so that we can try to help you. We want to make sure that everyone is safe as much as we can. And please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.